This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Yeah, what up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. What a night for Blaine Gabbert. We want to hear your thoughts because this is the show that you get to be the host of. Not me or Marco. We're going to sit here. We'll give you a couple opinions. But you've been listening to opinions all day long. Now it's your turn to express yours. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about Gabbert. Maybe about Cyprian not playing so well. Maybe about all the penalties. Maybe about even though Chad Henne had a horrible day, still had a better day than Tim Tebow, so maybe that'll finally silence the critics with that.
There we go.
Marco, how do you think Gabbert did? Do you think he secured his job now as the starter, or is there still a little bit of a competition?
I think he secured his job. It was his job to lose, I really think. But, again, it was just a quarter. I mean, you got to be happy. I'm happy for Blaine. I thought he did well. He looked really comfortable. But, you know, during the season when he was playing, he had some good first quarters. So, for me, I'm still wanting to see you put together a full half and some change. And then you got your boy also. That's what's up.
Yeah, I think Blaine definitely took the step in the right direction. I mean, we had a lot of people saying last week that he shouldn't be playing. It should be Henne. You've given him 3 years. You're not going to get anything out of him. And then he just completely blows everybody out of the water, going 13 for 16, 165 yards, and a touchdown, but really managing the offense. I mean, making the right throws, making accurate throws, which that was his knock for a while, even in practice, that he couldn't make the accurate throws, and now he is.
I mean, he was comfortable. I mean, yeah, he's always been my guy. I've been pushing, and I thought Blaine was the better is the better quarterback, and he showed tonight that it's his job, and he did a good job of sticking a fork in that thing. And, hey, give yourself an opportunity to be the guy come September.
355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Want to hear what your thoughts are. Let's start it off with Bill on the south side. Bill, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Hey, Bill.
Fellas, I thought Blaine Gabbert was fabulous tonight. I don't know if you saw Tom Brady this weekend. They start the game like that and goes, hits everybody. Every throw goes down, scores, and everybody says, man, that's the best who ever played the game. You know, well, he's just Tom Brady. Then along comes Blaine Gabbert, does the same thing. The only difference is Tom Brady does it all the time. But Blaine Gabbert, I've never seen him do it except for this once, and I hope he can keep it up.
Well, you know, Blaine's had some good series and drives last season. He really did. But my knock has been four quarters of football, unlike my man Tom Brady. Gabbert hasn't been able to put together four quarters of nonstop action just like Brady. So I guess that's why you see such a surprise in what's going on for Blaine.
Well, at least we got some hope here.
Oh, yeah, right. Definitely. Great to talk to you, Bill.
Yeah, I love the call we had last week. I don't know if you remember, but somebody called in and saying, why are we always handing the ball off the first play of the game? Always handing the ball off. We need to start faking it. We need to start going down the field. I'm telling you, Gus Bradley listens to our show. Took that caller's advice, going deep on the first play. Nice pass to Ace Sanders just to open up the offense. And that really does open up the offense because now you got to worry about the deep ball. Blaine shows he could throw it. That opens it up even more for Maurice to run through holes. It just all works off of each other. It was so nice to see the offense clicking in that first half with Blaine Gabbert in there. We're taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, going back to the Metro PCS call-in line with Jonathan in Mandarin. Jonathan, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, Jonathan.
Good. I just wanted to chime in about the receivers and the rapport that Gabbert had with them. I mean, obviously Blackman, last season we saw some hints of greatness, but Ace Sanders and when Cecil Short comes back, man, that's going to look good. What do you guys think?
Definitely action-packed. You know, I don't know how many games these guys are going to win, but it sure is going to be a lot of fun watching them. They did a good job bringing in some very exciting players. You got Denard Robinson. You got Cecil when he gets back in there. Mojo, you got to go ahead and include him into the passing game. The way that things look, they're going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Ace Sanders, Mr. Brown,
Woo, so many weapons you could choose from. And that's, and we talked about it last week. You know, of course, they were going to struggle to score points. There was no Blackman, no Cecil Shorts, no Maurice Jones-Drew. Look what happened. You get a couple of those guys back, you bring it right down the field. Gabbert has a great day, and you still got Cecil Shorts going. That can come in there yet. When he gets in there, it's just going to open everything up. The only negative about this whole thing is, why did Blackman have to get in trouble? I mean, you could see what this offense could be, and he's going to be sitting at home for the next 4 weeks once the season starts. It's a horrible way to start a season, especially with how good he looked today.
That's
with
for
Gabbert.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That man. But you know what? The good thing is that you got so many weapons, because that's another thing. The reality of it is injuries. It very well could have been that Blackman suffered an injury and wasn't around for four weeks. So if you look at it in that way, you got some guys that's backing up that can step in and make some plays. Because you still, like you said, this game, you didn't have Mercedes in there and you didn't have Cecil. So, wow. Woo.
It's going to be fun this year. I'm telling you, this offense is going to only get better and better every week, especially if Blaine plays the same way he did today. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I want to get your thoughts on the entire game, the quarterback situation, maybe about the penalties, too. Let's go over to Dwayne on the north side. Dwayne, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Enjoy the show.
Oh, thanks, Dwayne.
Yeah. Pump your brakes, guys. I mean, this was like a quarter, and y'all acted like, oh, my gosh, he has turned around. I mean, didn't they play like garbage last week? Yeah. So, I mean, I need to see the whole package, you know? I mean, I don't think at this stage in time that they're game planning against you, and you know that makes a difference, you know? So I'm excited, I hope, but I'm cautiously optimistic. You guys are like over the top, I think.
Oh, Dwayne, you do bring up a great point. You got to see it week to week, but this is what we're asking for. We are asking for to get better each and every week in the preseason. And as bad as Blaine looked in game one, he looks so much better in game two, and that's why we're excited. That's why there's hope. If he can build on this and get even better in game three, look out, man. I mean, that's what we're looking for. But to get better and better every week, and he went leaps and bounds over that first week. And even from last year, I mean, his big knock has always been his accuracy. Went 13 for 16 today.
Dwayne, you must not have heard me earlier. I said all those things that you just mentioned.
Right. But that's what I agree with.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
Like you said, you know, you've seen him do a quarter like this before.
Yeah.
You know? But you have to do it through the whole game.
Indeed.
And nobody's game planning against you.
Yep.
You know, so you're out there. Probably next week, if he does this next week, okay, we might be moving in a positive direction. But, yeah, I don't think they're game planning against you. And I'm not trying to kill the buzz, but pump your brakes,
yeah,
I think.
It's too early
you know,
to kill the buzz.
Let's see the whole package.
Let's wait till like 2 a.m. to kill the buzz.
I agree with you, Dwayne. We got a good team put together 4 quarters of football just like that. You have some bumps and road, peaks and valleys during the course of a game, but you got to see some consistency, not just in a practice game. This is a preseason. Everything goes back to zero. He had 100 and some odd quarterback rating and all these type of things. But guess what? Come September against the Kansas City Chiefs, he starts back at zero.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you really got to prove it.
But enjoy the show, guys.
Yes,
y'all do a great job.
Hey,
thanks for
man.
The call,
Dwayne.
All right, later, Dwayne.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I wonder if anybody still thinks we should get Tebow after that Gabbert performance we had.
Man,
I know we had a couple of those last week.
Go ahead and put the tombstone on that issue.
Let's go over to Lucas on the west side. Lucas, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I just want to make a quick point real quick and say, you know, Blaine went 13 for 16. I know everyone's trying to say, oh, Chulo's one game, whatever. Yo, hey, we know he has shined at times. Can he do it again? I think he can. I think everyone's going to be surprised what he does this season. You know, and I think there's no doubt, I don't care who you are, he didn't look scared, he didn't look timid, he didn't look, you know, erratic. No one can say any of those negative things about what he did out there. I'll take your response off the air.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Lucas. Really, you can't. I mean, I don't see anything other than hurting his hand, which ends up is probably going to be fine. You can't really say anything bad. He was making the throws. He was being accurate. I think that's the biggest key. I know everyone, you know, the caller before said they don't game plan for him, but even when they don't game plan for him and when he's at practice, he was struggling with the accuracy. Doesn't matter if a team game plans for you or not. If you can't hit the receiver, there's no point. He was at least hitting the receivers, hitting them in between the numbers.
Well, you know, for me, the thing that was most impressive was he was comfortable in the offense. He was in control. This is the first time of all the things. I've seen him make good throws. I have seen him look scared, too. You know, I've seen him put together 13 straight, you know, be this type of guy. Then the second quarter, all of a sudden, what happened to Blaine? But I have never seen Blaine in control. You figure the offense was at a very high tempo. He had that under control. Seemed like the communication was really good. He was pointing. He knew where to go with the ball. I mean, he made great decisions. The one pass that was they were in the red zone, and instead of it was to the tight end, and nobody was open. Instead of, you know, Blaine a pass, throwing an error, making an error, and throwing an interception, he throws the ball away so nobody can catch it. Bring in the kicker.
Live to see another day.
That was what was most impressive to me about Blaine Gabbert.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Give us a call. Want to hear what your thoughts are on the quarterback. I think when we get back, we got to get into a little bit of the negative. Some of those penalties, turnovers. We'll get into all that stuff and want to hear your thoughts. 355-NFL-1. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Right back here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It's brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. First segment, it was a bit of a love fest. I know it's late at night. We like to get our groove on this time of night. So we had the love fest. Now let's get back to reality and some of the negative things that went along with the Jags. And I got to start with Jonathan Cyprien. Man's making his debut. We're hearing a lot of talk about how great he's going to be. He's going to be a great player. Comes out and basically falls flat on his face, literally.
Literally.
Literally giving up touchdowns, falling flat on his face. Now, is this more of, he just got back, he doesn't know the defense yet, so he's uncomfortable? Or is this maybe he's not ready for the NFL yet? Maybe he's going to take some more time to develop.
I think it is. I mean, the thing is, a big deal was made about him being a hitter, being able to come up. You need a tackler, for sure. But you got to be able to cover in this league because, really, you look, it's not like it was years past where you're just knocking people out. You can't touch people as much as you could, you know, like in college. You can't be as aggressive at the safety position. You got to have a little bit more finesse in that position. I think that's something he's going to have to work through as a rookie. First game back, the speed, I'm sure he was pretty excited. You know, you heard Gus Bradley saying he's got to do some things to calm him down, slow it down for him. I'll be interested to see how better he looks come next weekend, so. That's going to be interesting.
What was your first preseason debut like?
Ooh, my first preseason debut was nice, man. You figure Miami Dolphins in Germany versus the Denver Broncos.
Real nice.
Oh, man, I started. You know, I got to go out there against John Elway and those cats, man, and Steve, you know, and Terrell Davis. I mean, no, Terrell Davis wasn't out at that time. But they had a really good team, man, and I balled out of control. I played three of the four quarters, man, and I enjoyed myself. And, shoot, man, it was on, man. I made plays. I was playmaking.
355-NFL-1. 355-6351. No falling flat on the face.
Nah,
Marco.
Not to me.
We were talking last week, and I joked about Tobias Palmer, and I said, does that one mistake get you cut that week? No, it didn't. And then he goes and muffs another punt this week, and cuts come next week. He's gone. Is he gone before that?
I don't know, man. He's going to have to do something really special. Especially, you know, he doesn't play much at wide receiver.
Yeah, even if he does something special, I don't think he's making the team.
He's been labeled as a fumbler. I mean, you know, so now it's happened twice.
Luckily, the defense came through, but if that was, you know, a major game that could determine whether you win or lose and you fumble it on your own 10-yard line.
Yeah, do you have confidence in this guy? And it's something.
I don't think the coaches do either.
You figure. At this point in time, he's messing up a beautiful opportunity. They're looking for a punt returner. He would have had an opportunity to have a spot on this team as the punt returner going into this season. Because Blackman's out, and that pushes A. Sanders into more of a bigger role as a wide receiver. Somebody's got to take over that
duty. For at least those first four games, you have an extra wide receiver on the roster, and that could be anybody. And, hey, you play well. Remember, the preseason, you're not just fighting for a Jaguars job. You're fighting for jobs around the league.
It's going to be tough, man.
If he did some good stuff and they said, you know what, we like you, but we've got other receivers, you're not making a big enough impact on special teams, we've got to let you go, another team might pick him up. They might have a need, but I don't think anybody's picking him up now.
Nah, not as a punt returner.
He's not picking up the ball either. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. How about Henny's day? Last week, Henny came out. He played better. I wouldn't say he went off. He didn't play spectacular, but he did play better than Gabbert. Comes out today, 4 for 10, 30 yards, the interception, 8.3 rating. what's going on there?
I think he was on the sideline watching Blaine saying, damn, I don't know what I'm going to do with
but
this.
But I mean,
if
you're in a competition, wouldn't you think that would motivate you to go out?
I would hope so, man. But Blaine, he set the bar pretty high, man. If you didn't do it, have a Brady-esque type of day, it was going to be ugly for you. I mean, Henny just, I don't think he was able to stand up to the pressure of trying to outdo what Blaine did.
I really don't. Lost. There was pressure. I don't know if the offensive line wasn't blocking as well for him, if the defense finally figured it out once he got in the series. Plus, Maurice Jones-Drew wasn't in there, so they didn't have to worry about the run as much.
Hey, man, I tell you, I really think the pressure was on him. And the way that Blaine played, he knew he had to come out and play a little bit better, and he just didn't. And
I really think that
played a big deal in his psyche. I really do.
355 NFL 1, going back to the Metro PCS call-in line with Steve in Arlington. Steve, thanks for staying up late with us. You know, we need people to call in and keep us awake.
Steve.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to talk about the offensive line. I thought they did a pretty good job. I don't know, Eugene Monroe, it seems like that's been a sore spot. I know last year Gabbert got the crap beat out of him from the backside, and I saw it again tonight, and that concerns me. But on the other hand, if you have a excuse me, I thought all in all they did better. Gabbert, you know, as long as he can be standing and throwing, I think he'll be a great quarterback. He looked confident in the pocket tonight, but if you, as long as he can, you know, has the time, St. Petersburg Times, when Benny Testaverde was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, mm-hmm. they benched him in favor of Chris Chandler. And he didn't do any better than Vinny. And the quote of the game was, he can't throw from his back. So, and that
true of any
was coming from Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call, man. And it's true. You know, it all starts up front. If you have time, guys are going to get open. Receivers are going to get open. You just need the time to find them. And if the offensive line plays well, that's going to happen. Plus, today, didn't have your number one pick in there. Luke Joeckel was out. And the offensive line still played great. That says nothing but great things to come when you know you got a capable line and your number one pick wasn't even in there.
Well, you know, you got to give some credit to Jed Fish. The way that he – the type of plays and the tempo of the offense, I mean, that made a big difference because you talk about Blaine didn't have to stand still. It was a lot of boots, a lot of movement,
you know,
a lot of misdirection. And making throws on the run. This wasn't just your basic drop back. And you know what that does? That takes pressure off of the offensive line. If they don't have to just sit back and just let you tee off and just, you know, 5-yard drop and, you know, that makes a lot. That really exposes your offensive line. But with the run action and, you know, those type of things, running the boots, that really helps that offensive line become, you know, be a lot more unpredictable. Makes it difficult for the defensive line to know what's going on with all the movement.
Let's go back to the Metro PCS hotline, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Everybody call in. Come on. It's fun. It's after midnight where we let it all hang loose here on the Scoreboard Show. Let's go down to Lake City. Is it Khalid?
Yes, Khalid. How you guys doing?
What's going on, Khalid?
All right. I had a comment, a question that could be a little bit of both. Jeremy Mincy, why is he so far down the depth chart versus Alu? What I'm seeing on from Tyson Alu, I feel like he doesn't close on the quarterback as quick as Mincy does. I really feel like we could do a little bit better with our line by starting Mincy over him.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody's closing in on the quarterback because we were having trouble getting pressure again this week.
Yeah, that's a competition I've been keeping my eye out on. You know, Mincy's just getting back from an injury that may have a little bit to do with why he's not starting over Tyson. But I think that Mincy is more of a defensive end. He can play that position better. I saw a few times where Alualo was getting smashed down and crashed down. I think he's a little uncomfortable out there at that position, in that space. He's more of a defensive tackle, but I think his size restricts him from being the defensive tackle, the type of defensive tackle that Gus Bradley wants to see. But again, I'm with you. I think Mincy is a better defensive end, but they're going to have both, which, you know, you got two good players out there, but Mincy is a little bit more active.
All right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, guys.
For sure.
Thanks for the call. And you can't really pay attention to depth charts this early in the preseason, can you? I mean, certain spots, you know who the starters are going to be, but they might be wanting to get some guys some more looks, you know, maybe against a different team, or just nursing a guy back, have him come in easy, wants him to play against maybe the third or fourth string team just to get the feel for the game, get back in game time shape, get those reps, but not have to worry about going up against a number one offensive lineman.
Well, there's a whole lot of top secret things going on in those coaches' room right now. So, you know, things that we're seeing, they may seem look one way, but the coaches have a different agenda. You
love
just don't
to
know.
Get in those coaches' rooms. Love to be in that. I bet there's a lot of players on the Jaguars right now that wish they could sit in on those meetings.
I don't know.
Know
nobody said
stand.
A dang on tier. I don't know.
355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Give us a call because it's after midnight, and we all know some of the best stuff happens after midnight. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming back on the Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
That's right. This is the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. I'm going to hit up some of that Crown Royal as
Man,
soon as we get off the
Man, bring me
air.
The purple bag, baby.
I keep saying, they got to bring us some free samples down here,
yeah, man.
It's after midnight. It's Saturday night. We're ready to party here. We're taking your calls, 355-NFL1.
Right, Crown Royal.
And we could use a little shot or two. Nothing wrong with that. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Maurice Jones-Drew making his return for the first time since October. Didn't play a lot. Doesn't really need to play a lot, but his impact, I think, was far beyond the stat sheet. You look at the stats, nothing spectacular. 3 carries, 9 yards, 1 catch for 20 yards was nice. I think just his presence on the field turned that offense around, whether it was because they felt they had their leader back and they knew that everything was going to be okay with him in the lineup, or just that the defense had to worry about him now, so they'd opened everything else up.
First play of the game, Maurice Jones-Drew, decoy. You know, that was the reason why. Everyone has to come up when you have Maurice Jones-Drew in the game. If you think with Maurice in the game, you're going to be able to line up with just 8 guys, with 7 guys in the box, forget about it. He demands 8, 9 guys. And by having to do that, that leaves a whole lot of space for a quick guy like Ace Sanders to get behind that defense, man. And an easy throw from Mr. Blaine Gabbert.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this year goes up, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it a lot here on the Scoreboard Show. Maurice Jones-Drew in a contract year. He might not be around next year. He's playing for a new contract, whether it's with this team or the next team. And he's, you know, he's going to want to get probably a 5-year deal. He's going to get paid. He's going to want to get paid as one of the top running backs in the league, so he's got to prove it this year. It'll be interesting to see how the Jaguars react to that. If he goes out and has an amazing year, if they feel we have to get this guy, we have to resign him, it doesn't matter what it does or what it costs because of what it does for our team, or if they're just going to be like, you know what, you want way too much money, we can't afford that. We've got some young guys like Denard Robinson in there that can do the same thing. It'll be real interesting to watch that as it develops this year.
It really is going to be interesting. I would think you'll want to keep him around because he's pretty close to catching up with, you know, in a couple of years, he'll be a leader in the record books. You know, hey, it's an opportunity now for, you know, to have a big celebration. You got your, you know, career leader, things of that nature. That's good for TV, too. So,
well, I mean, yeah, and that's the argument between, you know, for him being the face of the franchise and all the rushing yards, leading the league in rushing, you know, all the Pro Bowls, it's not getting you wins. So that's the other thing you got to look at, too, whether he's going to be around
or
not.
Well, he made a big difference tonight.
Definitely
I really
did.
Think so. Him in the game, it just completely changed the complexion. I think you take him out. That offense is not as good.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we see the difference between week 1 and week 2. 355-NFL1, that's 355-6351. Going back to the Metro PCS call-in line, David on the south side. David, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good, yeah, man. Thanks for staying up late with us.
I'd like to comment on Mark Brunell tonight.
Mark Brunell?
I thought it was great to,
Mark didn't play? Mark didn't play?
Yeah, he played. He played. I think I consider him the greatest quarterback the Jaguars ever had.
Yeah, I would say, but he didn't play today.
No, well, he didn't play today. But I enjoy hearing the comments from a quarterback that's played the game, especially to the team that he played with. And I could tell in the way his comments in his he wasn't
I think Dave's been hitting the ground.
What I'm trying to say is, in his heart, that from him playing the game, he knew Dwayne Gabbert how he progressed the ball forward, how he threw the ball. And that, to me, is a valuable thing to learn from a quarterback that has played the game when you hear it from versus someone that hasn't. And it was just great hearing him on the air.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do this year. Thanks for listening for it. I mean, trying to get those superstars in, guys that have played the game. You know, you'll hear him on pregame. You're going to hear him on Jaguars Thursday night. He's on there with the guy. Same thing with Buscelli being up in the booth. You love hearing it. Here postgame, we got Marco who played the game.
Guys just played the game. You're right, though, Dave.
Madden, so yeah. I got great perspective.
Yeah, man, you get an understanding that, you know, a lot of people just don't get from the, you know, actual act, you know, participating. It's a little different. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was hitting that Crown Royal tonight. He didn't sound all there. At first, I'm like, oh, man, we got a guy talking about Mark Brunell playing tonight. What game was he watching? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We got another Dave. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Dave.
You been hitting the sauce tonight, Dave?
No, I actually just left work about 20 minutes ago.
So you're ahead.
It's time to hit the sauce, Dave.
What you got for us?
I got to watch about 20 minutes worth of the game. I was really surprised. I actually lost a bet with a friend of mine. I kind of assumed Blaine Gabbert was going to throw a couple of interceptions tonight. I'm surprised. He actually had a really good quarter. I'm even more surprised that Henny didn't do as well as he did last week. But, I don't know really how to make heads or tails of that, I guess.
And that's why this is a quarterback competition. That's why, you know, everybody last week that called in was saying, why don't we make a decision? You know, you need to get that guy reps. This is exactly why. You know, one week you got Blaine having a horrible week and Henny coming out and playing good. This week you got Blaine playing out of this world, Henny playing awful. You need to find that consistency. And if, you know, Blaine puts it together again next week, if the hand's okay and he plays just as well, not saying he's going to go out there 13 for 16 again, but manages the offense, moves it down the field, then I think it's a slam dunk. He's your starter this year.
Well, if he goes out and throws 13 for 16 again, that's another $20 down the toilet for me. I'm going to have to buy a Blaine Gabbert jersey. So,
I mean, I guess
I'm hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
Well, we've been like that for a long time.
I think Blaine's gonna, he's gonna surprise some people. It's just him putting together four quarters. I've seen, you know, Blaine has played great quarters. He's played a quarter here and a quarter there. So actually, I was not surprised to see him play the way he played in that first quarter, the way he played. But the control and the, you know, just the way that he demanded and maintained the whole cohesiveness of the offense. That's the first time I've seen that. But him to throw and have those type of numbers, he's done that before for a quarter.
I got a chance. We had a real quick lull, and it was they were either on the 25 or the 20, one of the two. And I watched Gabbert make one hell of a throw. I mean, he would just he took back, I think it was like a 3-step drop, and he just hit it. And I've never seen him so absolutely sure of what he was doing.
Yep.
And that was to me, and the girl that was at the bar, she followed
so
Gabbert.
So you did hit the sauce.
she was following. I guess she followed Gabbert since Missouri, and she goes, "That's what they saw. That's what they saw." And she stood up and started pointing at the TV. So
was she cute?
I guess now we saw what the scouts saw when they first drafted him. But thanks, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. I mean, that's the thing. Ladies love Blaine. They loved the long hair back when he had it. You know, he's a sex symbol around here. You know, you got to say it. Blaine Gabbert. And if he starts putting up these numbers, oh, look out. I mean, you're going to see billboards. Next thing you know, he's going to have a shirt off doing underwear ads. I mean, the world is his oyster right now. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Randy. Randy, how are you feeling tonight?
Randy.
Hey.
What's up, Randy?
Hey, long-time caller, first-time listener. I just want to say, Gabbert sucks. We need Tebow. Everyone knows Tebow's your savior. We're calling for Tebow right now, and we want Tebow.
Love it.
Randy.
I mean, that's – Randy's good. Randy's a good guy.
Randy's on – he has the purple bag.
Yeah, I mean, he's seeing the purple elephant, I think, or the pink elephant. And that's what's hilarious about this is Henny just had such a bad night. 4 for 10, 30 yards.
Might as well have had Tebow competing.
8.3 rating. He still had a higher rating than Tebow had last night. As bad as he played, it was still much better than Tim Tebow was. And that's another guy. He might not make it. He might not make it through.
But you know, I think that New England is not going to actually have him just as a quarterback. He can do the wildcat. When you get him into that red zone, that's when he's going to be effective. They're going to do exactly what he did at the University of Florida. Get him down there with another. Well, they were probably hoping to have Hernandez and Gronk, you know, and faking and throwing to the tight ends, diving over the top, you know, those type of things. He's going to be a red zone guy. It's going to be interesting. I think they're going to actually keep Tebow.
I think we're going to
see. And label him an OW, offensive weapon.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Denard Robinson, that's exactly what I think he's going to do for us. In that red zone, lining up at, you know, running back, lining up at wide receiver, maybe a double pass here or there, playing some quarterback, because he's done it all. He's played it all, and he played pretty successfully at the University of Michigan
at
quarterback.
He's a football player, not a quarterback. He's an offensive weapon.
Offensively. OW.
There he is.
I'm just going to call my OW.
A new position in the NFL. OW.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to the doc. Doc's got the cure for my nighttime blues. What's going on, Doc?
Hey, man, you guys are awesome. You're hilarious, and I love it. My question is about the quarterback situation. When we get Blackman back, why did we pass up on Geno Smith? I'm just curious about that, because we'd have had Geno Smith and Blackman. Man, you have an offensive threat by air and by ground, man. I'm just curious why you think the guys passed up on that, because to me, what we have, he's had some years, and I understand he didn't have the proper tools or whatever you want to say, the coaching staff, but I think we saw what we're going to get in this guy. Just a preseason, one preseason game, that's not enough for me. I'm like, we should have got Geno. That's my opinion. But what's your guys' thoughts on that? Thank you.
Now, it's going to be real interesting to see. And Geno didn't even play tonight, so that makes it a little bit more tough. But it's going to be real interesting to see how this draft class of quarterbacks goes. Because 2-3 years ago, between Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, even E.J. Manuel, those guys could have went 1-2-3 in the draft, and this could have been one of the biggest draft classes ever for QBs. But then as people started evaluating more, Geno fell. E.J. Manuel kind of moved up into the first round. And Matt Barkley didn't go to the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be real interesting to see. And I think, like you said, you know, when you spend a top 10 pick on a quarterback, you want that to pan out. That's why you draft them so high. You figure, I want to be set. And from, you know, what people are saying, you give them another year, give them maybe 2 years, see what quarterbacks are there in the draft. Because I don't think anybody wanted to spend a number 2 pick on the quarterbacks that were out in this year's draft.
I'm going to tell you, Geno was passed up by a lot of guys. It wasn't just the Jaguars. It was something going on with Geno that they seen it just didn't work. And I think that Blaine, to me, he's seasoned more so than Geno and any of the other quarterbacks that came out this year. I think with some consistency and the weapons, that's the thing. You know, Blaine is not going to be asked to do a whole lot. You figure the passes with having Maurice in that game is going to bring 8 guys into the box, 8 and 9. And with players like Cecil Shorts, A. Sanders, and Justin Blackman, one-on-one, there's very few people that are going to be able to handle them. That's what they're going to be faced with. When you got Maurice Jones-Drew in the game, all you need is a couple guys that just can get right there behind those linebackers, because there's going to be some space. And, hey, it's some easy throws. These guys are going to make this one guy miss, and it's off to the races.
I mean, now let's face it. When you get 2 wins in a season, that means your team's got a crazy amount of holes. So, you know, you could see him going for a quarterback that's like a maybe. Do you really want to reach that high, or do you want to get the offensive tackle that you pretty much know when an offensive tackle goes 1 or 2, they spend 10, 15 years in the league and you never have to worry about it for the most part.
And quarterbacks, a lot of times, man, they are a real big crapshoot. There's only been a few that have been drafted real high and really went on to excel. A lot of quarterbacks, they weren't drafted real high. They're in that middle, those middle. Maybe they might have went in the first round, but they're in the latter part of the first round and end up being superstars.
I mean, everybody likes to point
Geno
out Tom
Smith,
Brady.
I'm not. I mean, I'm seeing him play in the preseason, I wasn't impressed. I haven't been impressed with Geno at all, to be honest with you.
No.
Not as of yet here in the preseason. He hasn't played much either, and that's saying a whole lot about it. Because here it is, he can't even run on turf. His body all out of body position. He doesn't even have good body control.
Goes out and throws 3 interceptions in practice. You want to talk about not game planning to go out and practice and throw 3 interceptions?
You know, he can't even run without twisting the ankle. Nobody touched him.
I mean, honestly, what quarterback situation would you rather have right now? The one the Jags are in or the one that the Jets are in? Because they got a huge contract on Sanchez, and they don't think he can play. And, you know, the guys in the booth kept bringing it up tonight. If he's Mark Sanchez is your definite quarterback, why is he still in there in the third quarter?
They're probably going towards Geno, and it's going to be a couple years before Geno's actually ready to go.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. We got one segment left. Gonna keep taking your calls. Keep us up tonight, man. It's 12:30. We're probably gonna hit the bars after this. Maybe you can hit them up with us. Give us a call, 355-NFL-1. Back right after this on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Yeah, welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman.
Gio.
It's 12:30. We're lonely. Give us a call, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Call us up. Talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk about the one thing we haven't yet, the penalties. How can you have that many penalties and the majority of them coming from the guys that are supposed to be your starters?
Right.
Now, you know, two thoughts come to mind when it comes to penalties. Either A, these guys aren't focused and ready to play, or two, they just don't feel comfortable enough to know what they're doing, so they're jumpy.
Yeah.
I mean, is that usually how it works?
Well, you know, it's, you know, as long as they're, sometimes it's aggressive penalties, you know, and I think in the case of Cyprian,
the personal fouls,
yeah,
the
you know, he's just trying hard, you know, he's just getting, just understanding how much, what he can do and what he can't do. And, but like you said, there's just way too many penalties. You figure in the first half, they had 10 penalties. That's way too many. That's a big problem. So, and these are, like you said, these are guys who are going to be dependent upon. So I'm sure it's going to be some things that's going to be worked
they're,
on. They're going to be emphasized.
Killers. They really are. I mean,
man.
You know, and taking bad penalties like right before the end of the half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head of who it was, but he gets punched by a jet or pushed by a jet. He could have
mm-hmm.
just let it alone, back him way up. And it would have been great. That would have been as big as a sack.
But
retaliates a little bit, and then they get the offsetting penalties. Jets still have the ball on the 2-yard line.
And there was one call I thought was pretty questionable, actually, as a play calling. It was the, I believe it was in the, at the end of the half, and not much time left. And there was a penalty, but it was on the Jets. And the Jags decided to take the penalty, which kept them a third down and gave them actually, it wasn't a lot of time, but they gave them really two shots. If
mm-hmm.
you had a good quarterback, I mean, I guess maybe if it was Brady, you go ahead and do it. But I guess with Sanchez, you feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
But in any instance, you never know what Sanchez would have been able to do that would have created a score. So I didn't understand exactly why it would give an offense two opportunities, basically, as opposed to making them take that fourth down. And, you know, more likely make them just force them to take a field goal.
I mean, that's I see rolling the dice there. And even if this was a regular season game, I could see rolling the dice in that situation because you figure you give it to them a fourth down from the 2-yard line, fourth and goal. They've only got time for one play no matter what. So you could still run
the ball. 9 seconds, not really. If you,
There was like 6 seconds left.
I think it was more like 9.
Nah, because he had 6 seconds to throw.
Man, he ran around for like 3 days.
Yeah, but he can still run after the clock hits zero. Come on, you played. You know you hit some guys late. Don't lie.
Every day. I still do.
But that's what I mean. You know, you basically got one play, maybe two at the most. So you figure if it's fourth down, they're going to go four from the 2-yard line. They can run. They can pass. They can do anything because they're close enough. You back them up 5 yards. That takes the run out of it at least. And it's gonna. You know it's going to be a pass. So I can see rolling the dice there, and then if they get the field goal, they get the field goal. But I can see doing that when it's that close. Now, if they were on the 5-yard line, then it wouldn't make sense to me. But it being on the 2, I'd go with that,
it
too.
It depends on who you're playing. You know, I think Sanchez, you're not worried about it so much. But, you know, if you got Brady, Breeze, Manning,
or just a
you
big,
can't give them
a big beastly back.
If it is, if it's more than more than 3 seconds, they can get a playoff. And 6 seconds is enough time
especially
for those type of guys.
You know, a quick fade route. Boom, one step drop even, throw.
You can't give those guys that kind of time. But, you know, again, knowing who you're playing against, it wasn't a bad choice, I guess.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Give us a call. Talk about all this stuff. We can talk about the next opponent coming in here. My hometown, Philly.
The real Dirty Birds.
Yeah, Michael Vick, he coming in with Dirty Dog guy, you know. They got a quarterback situation, you know, where they're fighting for jobs. Their guys both look pretty good each week. Vic's stepping it up a little bit more. You know, I'm going to talk to the Eagles play-by-play man, and I'm going to ask him next week, and you'll hear it during the pregame show. Gus Bradley was this close to becoming the Eagles head coach.
Mm.
He was up in Philly the day before he came down here, and they had helicopters following him around, seeing what he's doing. He was actually in Philadelphia and could have been their coach. Not sure how things transpired, but I'm going to ask their play-by-play man just how close they think Gus Bradley would have been to going up there versus coming here. It'd be an interesting question to ask Gus as well. don't think you'd ever get a straightforward answer from him on it. If you said, hey, which job would you rather choose, Philly or Jacksonville? He'll never tell you the truth no matter what the answer is.
Well, it's obvious he's here, so, you know, hey. But it's going to be interesting how the defense handles a better offense. I mean, it's going to be faster. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more athletic. They're going to be more physical. I mean,
they're going to run a ton of plays.
Oh, man. You know,
Jags be conditioned this week.
The defense today was not good. This was not a good offense. This was not a good offense at all, especially defensive line-wise. As a matter of fact, they came out, played the Wildcat. They practice against that type of stuff, and they couldn't stop it. So they got the penalties and that defense. They got to get tightened up, and, you know, figure the last big tune-up will be next week.
Yeah, this is the one where the starters play the most time. You got to figure that Blaine Gabbert's going to get the nod again. You got to figure most of the starters will be in there for probably at least a half, if not, you know, two and a half quarters, maybe three full quarters to actually play in this game. And that's the thing, you know, I've watched some of the preseason games with Chip Kelly at Oregon. He was all about getting more plays. Like, his whole philosophy seems like if you can get 10 more plays than your opponent, that's a 10 play drive for a touchdown. You're probably going to score.
Yes, yeah, sir.
So they go after it. They do no huddle constantly, so you don't have time to sit there and switch guys in and out. So we'll see. Be interesting to see what Gus Bradley does this week. Does he tone up the conditioning? Does he make him run more to get him in shape? Or does he really take it back a notch and say, all right, we're going to rest our guys a lot this week because we know they're going to be running nonstop and going to be dog tired after this game? I mean, what?
Well, this third preseason game is the game that's more like a normal regular season game. So they're going to go through your normal preparation as far as the film watching, handing out the scouting reports, talking about the different players, talking about the tendencies and things of that nature, whatever they can from just the preseason, because it's not a lot of, and probably watch a lot of Oregon film, actually, to kind of get an idea of what they may face. So now it's a bunch of unknown for the defense. And I would say the same thing for the Philadelphia defense coming in and now looking at the Jaguars offense, because you got a lot of things you got to look at with the offense for the Jaguars. You got, you know, Ace Sanders. How is he going to be used? You got now Blaine Gabbert. You got to look now. How is he going to affect us? Maurice Jones-Drew when he's in the game. How are you going to – Denard Robinson. I mean, and you got, you know, Mercedes, if he's feeling good. Now, who's going to stop this big tight end if Cecil shows up? So now, I mean, just like we have to, you know, they should be concerned about what Philadelphia is going to do, I think they have the same concerns now against the Jaguars.
You can see Maurice Jones-Drew and the W.O. or the O.W., the offensive weapon, having a huge game next week. So that guy that lost the bet about Blaine Gabbert that called in earlier in the show, why don't you bet about how many yards Maurice Jones-Drew gets? Because I think we're in for a ton of yards. The Eagles defense doesn't look like they can stop many people. Quick break, coming right back, taking your phone calls at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Don't forget, the injury reports today are brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Be right back here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Hinania Studios for the Scoreboard Show. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. 355-NFL1, that's 355-6351. Saw some good, saw some bad from this game. Total role reversals on offense and from the quarterbacks. Total role reversal on defense, too, where they came out good the first series of first week.
Mm-hmm.
Came out flat in the first series this week. Didn't look very good. I mean, the scores, especially when you run up the score late in the game, doesn't really matter in preseason. You know, those are your backups. Sanchez was in there well into the third quarter. Mm. You know, Braylon Edwards was in there well into the third quarter. So it was basically their first teamers going up against our third team. So you can't even look at that score. But the defense, first team on first team, didn't look that great.
Not at all, man. I mean, we're looking at the stat sheet. Alu-Alu, no productivity.
Not even on there.
Marks,
I mean,
had a bunch of JOPs.
Jumping on the pot.
But I'll say a guy that has been impressive when he does get in the game, he's a backup, is Pinnell Egbaugh. I mean, we talk about it's only going to be a few guys that are going to be kept on the defensive line. You know, you kind of got an idea of Love, you know, Marks, you know, Alu-Alu, Mincy, you know, it's even, you know, a guy like Pinnell Egbaugh is right now is leading the pack for that next spot for a defensive lineman to be kept.
So you don't even think he's a long shot. You think he's on.
I think he's on, man. Because every time he's probably one of the few guys that continues to have a flash. I mean, even last week, he has a flash. You watch him in practice, he has a flash. He makes a play each time he's given an opportunity. And you can't say that for many of the defensive linemen right now.
No, I mean, Chad Henne was actually more productive tackling than Alualu was, which is sad. I mean, he's another high pick. Guy yeah. should be productive. Yeah. He's been in the league a couple years, know what it takes to get done, and just not getting it done. And I think that's been the problem with this team for years now. It's inconsistency. Guys not getting the job done, and especially on defense, no pressure.
Pressure.
I mean, we were talking during the break at how the Jaguars basically redid their entire secondary. Guys they brought in are young or, you know, vets that aren't big-name guys. So the defensive line has to get pressure. Teams are just going to pick those guys apart.
Yeah, somebody's got to stand up on that defensive group in order to get it done. Pozlesny is a leader, but I'm not sure he's not a big play guy. There's no
guy. He's a run stuffer.
He's a run stuffer. He's a solid guy.
He does the grunt
guy.
Work, which is, you know, he's great for that. He's a grunt player.
He's a good defensive captain, but he's not going to be the playmaker that you need on a consistent basis for a big play. You got to have big plays on defense.
He's a guy that'll get 10, 15 tackles in a game, but you might not notice it because it's all stuff running up the middle.
Or like 10 yards already after they pass the line of scrimmage.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Next week, like we were saying, we're playing Philly. Should be a great game. It should be a fun game to watch, even if the score gets out of hand. Watching that Philly offense go
and the
as
Jag
quick
offense.
As they do, and the Jag. I mean, this is playmakers versus playmakers. That's the point I was going to bring up. It's the same deal. You know, you got two coaches that have offensive weapons all over the ball, and if they're used correctly, one of these teams is going to know which way to use them, that's a team that's going to win.
It's going to be whose defense can get a couple of stops.
And neither defense has played well on these teams these preseasons. So
this is going to be like a 45-45 half.
It really
this
could be.
Like
I mean,
arena ball.
It really could be. The Arena Bowl was today. We get one more arena game next week here in Jacksonville. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show. We are back again next week. Pregame starts at 4:30. Kickoff at 7:30. The real show starts about an hour after the game ends. And that's
show.
The Scoreboard Show.
That's it.
Follow me on Twitter, jgray_WOKV. Marco, you got to get yourself a Twitter handle, man. You got fans. They want to connect.
They want to holler at me.
They want to
holler
connect
at your
with
boy.
You. They do. And then you can start Instagramming. You can start.
That's just way too much for me, man.
And then you're going to get in trouble because then ladies will call you. It's just bad news. Twitter's bad news. Your wife will get under case.
You get clubbed in the head. You're trying to get me jacked up.
You're like, no, it's Twitter. It's okay.
It's for work, baby. It's for work.
I swear, they made me get it. Thanks for joining us back again next week here on Jaguars Radio.